You know, a man's power of mobility is precious. I think if there's anything we've learned, and I think all of us probably will come out of this a very different person than we were when we went in. I think about the power to walk. I surely have experienced that over the last 7 weeks, not being able to walk as I normally would. Thank the good Lord there was a way that I could get around. I'm grateful for that. But when something is given to you and you have it, you become to look for it as taking it for granted and thinking that it's always going to be there. And when it's taken away, you realize how precious it really was. And the opportunity to come and worship the Lord in the house of God. Who would have ever thought? I pastored 40 years and never thought I'd see the day that we would come to this place, to where we would have to, many people would not be able to come to the service because of some pandemic or some virus that was spread around. However, as I say, and I like to say this every time, because honestly, I believe it with all my heart, I believe we're living in the last days. I believe we're seeing the signs of God. I believe we're seeing the judgment of God. And I know and do not believe that we'll go through the tribulation, but I believe we're going to experience some tribulation before it's all said and done. But I want to say thank you today as you come together to learn, but I want to be sure, and I want you to understand that I'm trying to keep you to the point. I want to encourage your heart. I want to strengthen you. I want you to help to keep the fire burning while you're away. It's sometimes easy when we get away for the fire to kind of go down or die down. And so the only way you can stoke the fire is continue by hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Not only just hearing me on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but there's all other kind of messages that you can get on YouTube if you search them out during the week. When you're sitting at home, listen to good men that are preaching the Word of God, and it'll encourage your heart. But you know today, Satan seeks to alienate a man from God. If there's anything that he wants to do, he wants to make a division between us and our relationship with God. The most important thing in our life is our relationship with God and the way we serve Him, the way we worship Him, the way we pray to Him, and the fact that He meets our needs along the way. And how does He do that? I think that the devil could not have come up with a clever idea, and I believe God allows everything to happen. I think everything is in His control. He could forbid, or he can okay anything He desires to do. But if anything the devil could do, I believe one thing he would want to do is isolate us from the house of God, isolate us from the Word of God and the things of God, to get our mind off of the things of God. Somebody mentioned this week, and they didn't mean it in a critical way, and they wasn't talking about doing it on a permanent basis. At least I hope they wasn't, but they said, hey, this watching on the internet's pretty convenient. You know, it can become so convenient that maybe you don't feel the need or the importance. However, they went on to say, but there's more to church than that. We miss the fellowship, we miss the people, and we miss what goes on there. But the devil will rejoice today if he can isolate us from the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God, and even lead us into a place of solitary confinement to get us away. Man's destruction and his deliverance is Satan's objective. Satan wants today to destroy us in every way we can. We come to the passage of Scripture in Psalm 73 today. You'll find, if your Bible has it, at the beginning of the top of the chapter in my Bible, it said a Psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a transcriber, and I believe perhaps that he was penning the words that David transcribed to him to write, but I believe it was describing him. In this chapter, it's 28 verses, we find a difference in this man's life. He went in four different directions in this verse, and he goes to show that even as a child of God, the Bible said when we get saved, we're new creatures in Christ, old things are passed away, all things have become new. And I wish to tell you today that I wish that when we got that new spirit and new body, I wish to tell you that we were going to be all right from then on out. We was always going to do right. We was going to always talk right. We was always going to be faithful to God. But every one of us know that that's not the way it works. There's not a person in this building or at the sound of my voice that does not go through periods in their life where there's low periods and then there's high periods. And so what we begin with in Psalm chapter 3 is Asaph is writing, and he's talking about the fact that he's a very discouraged Christian. I chose this passage today, and there might be some differences here, but today we're living in very discouraging days. It's been discouraging for me. It's been quite depressing, to be honest with you. In fact, to come to the house of God and just see a handful of people, it's very difficult to come and not see the people we love. And by the way, we do love you. We do miss you. And we sure enjoy the fellowship that we have one with another. But I want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to God. And when this is all over, I'm looking forward to the day that we can once again meet together as a church, as a family, and worship God together. But I want to show you four different types of Christians in this one passage of Scripture about one man. And you know, every one of us go through these times in our life. We have highs, we have lows, we have times when we're this first man, we're a discouraged Christian. I want to begin by reading verses 1 through 14. He said, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Now, the first thing he does, he states, no doubt, he knows that God is good, and he knows God is even good to those who have a clean heart. But then he goes on to say, "But it's for me." Unfortunately, there's some of you today that may be saying, "But it's for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there was no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more heart than the heart could wish. They are corrupt, they speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak lofty. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, there are ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart, listen, in vain, and washed my hands in innocency." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to come together this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, today we're reading from a man that believed in God, a man that had faith in God. But we find in this passage of Scripture, even as we do in our own lives, that there's times when we can begin to slip from the grip that God has on our life. Some very startling statements that the psalmist makes as he pens these words and gives it to us. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you would guide and direct me to give me the wisdom, the strength, and the help that I need. I pray today that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I'd admit to you today, we're living in some very discouraging times. I mentioned to you, and probably in all my life, I've never been so much as discouraged as I have been. I've enjoyed the opportunity, and I thank the Lord for the telephone. I thank the Lord for the internet that we're able to reach some of you folks. And I'm grateful today that I can call and check on people and see how they're doing. But I want you to know today, God is still in control. I battled today on preaching this message or another message entitled, "Where's God?" or "I Know Where God Is," by the way, and that's what I was going to share with you, and I may next week. But the fact of it is today, we need to be careful that we don't get so discouraged and so down. Now again, this is unlike the psalmist here. He looked around and he saw the foolishness of the wicked. And today, even those of you that are not in attendance, it'll be easy for you to look around. In fact, today, people are all around are going about their business. I realize today people are sheltering in. People are staying in their homes to a great extent. There's not as much traffic on the road. But as I said yesterday, I went by Lowe's. I didn't go in. I just rode by. And they were bustling. I mean, they were busy. I went by Publix. They were busy. My neighborhood, the kids are all over the neighborhood playing and going on. And so we see people out everywhere. And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. But if you're not careful, you'll begin to say, "Well, listen, this is just too good. This is too easy. This is what we can do, and this is what we need to do. We don't have to go to church every week." And you'll begin to look at other people and what they do, and you become envious of them. Friend, I want you to know today, they ought to be envious of us. Thank God today for being in the house of God. Thank God today for being here to hear the Word of God and to understand that God works in mysterious ways. He saw the prosperity of others as they prospered begin to bother him. I think about how oftentimes, and I appreciate so much our people and their tithing. In spite of last week in the service we had an extraordinary offering that come in. We have the bulletin back there. There's not much else in the bulletin that changed, but we had a great offering last week. And only God can do that. Only God can bring about the things here in our life if we understand that many times we let other people affect what we do. Friend, we ought to be our own person. We ought to be our own man, a woman, boy, a girl, and making the right choices and doing what God would have us to do. But the most important thing and the most startling thing that I find in the passage of Scripture is we find here in verse number 11, he considered heart cleansing to be futile. He look what he said in verse 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Now, why in the world would we as Christians get to the point where we question what other people said about God? I heard a long time ago people said God is dead. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. God is more alive today than he's ever been. I don't guess any more alive. He's been alive all this time, and he's still alive, and he's still on the throne. He's still in control of everything that's going on. But yet, you can get so discouraged. Justin preached a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night about John the Baptist doubting the Son of God, Jesus Christ, doubting if that was him. Friend, I'm telling you today, the devil is powerful. And needless to say that any of us could say, oh, preacher, you don't know. I tell you, I've got a firm foundation. My feet are set upon the rock. I tell you, I'm determined. I'm going to live for God and I'm going to serve God. I'm telling you today, God can use this for a blessing, or the devil can use it to destroy our lives, our families, and our homes. He goes on to say in verse number 12, behold, there are ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Oftentimes people come and say, man, you know, if I didn't have to tithe, we'd have a lot of extra money. Oh, I wouldn't count on that. If you're a child of God, that's not so wise of thinking. I can promise you, it's better to give God what belongs to God so that God will give you what belongs to you and meet your needs. We need not worry or fret over what other people have. And by the way, we're living in a day where a lot of rich people, this past week or so, they lost millions and maybe even billions of dollars in the stock market. I wonder what they're going to turn to now. I pray by the grace of God that they'll turn to the Lord. And I hope you will continue to show forth your praise to God in what he does. But he comes to the point that literally what he's doing is choking himself in this matter of, he's choking himself to death in the matter of worrying about the riches of others. I tell you today, God has made each and every one of us rich in him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Friend, he knows what's going on. And I'm grateful today that one thing that I know of, we've not had any kind of food shortage. May come to that. I pray by the grace of God that it don't, but yet if it does, so be it. The Bible said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. And then one other verse there in 73, he said in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verse 13, verily, he said, I have cleansed my heart. But what troubles me? He said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've washed my hands in innocency. Anytime that you have a clean heart and a clean life, it's not in vain. Friend, I want you to know what you're doing today is not in vain. God sees you. God knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. And I tell you, lift up your hearts. Lift up your heads. Lift them up to God and be faithful to him and serving him. Somebody mentioned the other day, some children are getting to see their parents now more than they ever have because they're being restricted to home. I hate that it's the way it is. But you know, God could be placing people in positions where they spend more time with their family and their children, and they show their love to them. But here's the whole key. I want you, if you would, to skip down with me to verse number 17. Chapter 73, verse 17, and listen what he says. He transforms. You ever heard of a chameleon? Whatever he lands on, that's what color he becomes. Friend, it's where your mind is where you're going to be. If you're all you're thinking about is coronavirus, And if all you're thinking about is depression of having to stay home, if all you're thinking about is your problems and your aches and your pains and your difficulties and your heartache, I'm telling you, you're going to go down, down, down. And I know it's easy for me to tell you that, and it's harder for us to do. But look at verse 17. I love it. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Where in the world do we go in the times of need? He walks into the sanctuary of God. I tell you today, I think what the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'm grateful today that God gives us means to reach our congregation. But I tell you today, the way that we're going to get help is to be an informed Christian. One thing that we're doing, and I tell you, I might not can see you, and you may not be coming, but I can connect with you three times a week if you'll allow me to keep you informed. You said, well, preacher, are you the newsman? You're going to keep me informed of what's up? No, I get all the statistics wrong. I got some wrong this morning. I'll be honest, I try to quit saying the statistics because I really don't know them. But I tell you what I do know. I know the God of this book, and I know this book. And I know when you went to the house of God, as the psalmist also said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Friend, there's never been a time in history when people have had as much time to read their Bible, to pray, to hear messages on the Word of God, to seek God's face and to seek God's will than the day we live. And so what happens is we can transform from being that discouraged Christian to being that informed Christian by hearing the Word of God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friend, we need the Bible in our life on a daily basis. We need to be saturating. We need to be reading it. We need to be praying, and we need to be seeking the will of God. It's been said, watch movies. And hey, I'm not opposed if there's a movie that's a good movie that you want to watch, okay? But spend time in God's holy word. I tell you, the movies will, in fact, a lot of movies, even if they're kind of decent, you know, they have sad endings and they make you cry, especially the ladies with some of the movies they watch on the Hallmark Channel. They end up in tears. Don't watch them. They're not encouraging. But read the Bible, pray, seek God's face, and as much as you can, avail yourself of coming to the house of God. Look at verse 18, what he said. He said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. He begins to regain a sense of valuation. He begins to look at and understand the verse that says, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Friend, listen, all of this. Listen, I don't blame everything on God, but I can tell you this. God knows everything that's going on. He knows what we're experiencing. And I believe with all my heart there's a reason and a purpose why we're enduring what we're enduring in this day, whether it's a test of our faith, whether it's a test of our spirituality, whether it's a test of our walk. We need to understand, as the psalmist did, we need to get out of the gutter, we need to get out of discouragement, and we need to come back to the house of God. We need to avail ourselves of the opportunity to hear the Word of God, to worship God, and to praise Him, and understand the evaluation that God has on our life. Somebody said, I'm worried about getting the virus. Listen, I'm not worried about getting the virus. I tell you, I'm worried about being faithful to God and serving God the best of my ability. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not going out and go around people that I know that have it. I'm not going to break the rules and go to the hospital. They won't let anybody in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking simply about dwelling on the fact of what could happen. Understanding is what hasn't happened. God is still with us to guide us and direct us and to help us in every way possible. And then he gains a whole new perspective on life. In verse 21, he said, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. Friend, I tell you, if there's ever a time if we ought to come back to the house of God, it ought to be when this is all said and done and all is done. I tell you, we ought to have to think about expanding the auditorium. People ought to come back to worship God. I heard one fellow say this, and I really fear this. Guy was on the news yesterday, and he was a little bit pessimistic. He said, you know, when all this is all over, he said, people are never going to be the same. He said, they're not going to want to go out, and they're going to continue to want to social distancing. They're not going to want to go to the ball game and sit next to somebody. They're not going to want to go to the movie and sit close to somebody. And furthermore, he could, if he's right, some could get to the point where they don't want to go to church and sit by anybody either. I'm telling you, there comes a point when we have to trust God, understand that God has a point in our life, a perspective to take care of us, and when it all dies down, when it's all said and done, we need to be sure that we find ourselves in the place that God would have us to be. Last week, I understand there was people listening from other states and people perhaps listening that weren't members of our church. I don't know who they are. I have no idea anything about them. But if you're listening to me today and you're not a faithful member of a local church that preaches the Word of God, you may not feel comfortable going during these times. But listen, make up your mind when it's all said and done. If God spares you and if God watches over you, get yourself back to the place to where you can hear the Word of God and go to the sanctuary of God so that you can be encouraged in the Lord and so that you can understand the end of what God has in store for those who love Him. Look at verse 22. He admits it. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Basically, you can take it for what you will, but that's an apology. The psalmist said, God, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, there's a time there that I felt like cleansing of the heart was in vain. I felt like it was of no use. It was of no value. I was down and out. And Lord, I was looking at other people and I was judging my life against them. But he said, then I went to the house of God. Thank you today that we can come to the house of God. Be encouraged. And now he comes to the point, he said, I was foolish. I think when this is all said and done, a lot of people are going to look back and maybe realize just a little bit. And again, I'm very careful what to say because I know people can take this and turn it any way they want to. But I think sometimes we'll come back to the point where maybe we were a little more foolish than we thought. Maybe we were a little bit more panicky than we thought because we really was not putting our faith and trust in God. And again, I emphasize, I know the crowd situation is not a good situation. But I'm simply saying our help comes from the Lord. And by the way, I wish I'd had it. I could pull it up. It'd take a second. But there was a senator this week in the House of, in the Senate, I guess. I forget where he was from. I think Oklahoma. Cal sent it to me. But he got up and he read a prayer and he read scripture. And he said, and he quoted the verse, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. And I tell you, we might not have a lot of them up there that are trusting God, but thank God there's a few that still stand for the truth of the Word of God. Again, we may not understand everything, but Franklin Graham this morning, I heard on Fox News, I was on the radio coming to church. In fact, I've heard him several times in the last few weeks get on television and give the plan of salvation and tell people how to be born again. I can't remember when I've heard that on the television in a long time. Friend, this ought to be the time that if we have opportunity to share with people, it ought to be this time that we share with them the hope they have in God. If your neighbor's not going to stay home, listen, stand 6-10 feet away, but witness to them and tell them about the goodness of God in the land of the living. The psalmist said, I'd waited patiently upon the Lord. I'd waited unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the living. And then he transforms again. He goes from being discouraged to being informed. And I tell you, an informed Christian is a good Christian. Somebody said, preacher, what is it that you think through the years has been successful for you in your ministry? And I tell you what I believe it's been. I've tried.